You failed to respond to my clue, Mr. Mandolin.
Adrenaline shoved my fatigue into a closet and slammed the door. Simon? Or is it Marco?
Very good, Mr. Mandolin. But you still have to pay the price for not fulfilling your part in our little competition. I was where I said I would be. You were not.
Aha! You mean Woodside? I had that figured out as soon as I found your note. As riddles go, it was pretty weak.
You're cleverer than I thought. Yes, it seems our contest is ending at just the right time.
Right. Let's see if you can handle being shot.
I had his location now. He was in the living room, near the corner where I kept the bookcase. I was closer to the kitchenette, and a couple of chairs and a table were between Simon and the counter, and as a consequence, me. I sidled toward the counter in the kitchenette.
Have you forgotten how quickly I can move, Mr. Mandolin? You having a gun poses no danger to me.
Maybe, maybe not. Are you willing to take the chance?
I eased open the top left-hand drawer under the countertop and felt with my fingertips for the butcher knife kept there.
Well?
It seems I have overestimated you, Mr. Mandolin. This game no longer amuses me.
I pulled the knife out of the drawer as quietly as I could. I didn't say anything else, hoping the interior of my apartment was as dim to Simon as it was to me. Straining my eyes, I tried to focus on where I thought Simon stood. It could have been my imagination, but it looked like a slightly darker shadow was overlaid against the cheap wallpaper of my living room. There was a sense of movement. My head swam, and then I was bouncing off the door of my refrigerator. A sickeningly sweet smell mixed with that of rotting meat came to my nose. The refrigerator door opened, spilling light into the kitchenette. Simon stood over me, his right palm covered in blood, held open before his stomach. He was looking in disbelief at the knife hilt sticking out of his chest. Some of the fridge's contents fell to the floor.
Ow!
Simon continued to stare at the knife in his chest. I started to pick myself off the floor, only to be slammed back with bruising force. I felt my spine creak. The knife hit the floor.
No more games, Mr. Mandolin.
The smell was almost strong enough to gag me. I looked up and found out why. Simon's face writhed, its flesh twitching as it transformed. The jaw unhinged like that of a snake, and his tongue swelled as it extended out of his mouth. The tentacles I saw before started to sprout, waving as if they had a life of their own. Saliva, thick and ropey, began to build and dribble out of the mouth.
Time for dinner, Mr. Madeline.
That hideous mouth bent closer. Panicked, I strained against the hand pushing me against the floor. No dice. Simon was inhumanly strong. As I strained, my right hand scrabbled around for the knife, but it was out of reach. I grabbed the first option available to me, a glass jar, and smashed it against the side of Simon's face. Simon arched back. The entire left side of his face boiled and smoked as if the jar had contained virulent acid rather than the pickles I smelled. I could see the white of bone showing through the bubbles. With the vampire no longer holding me down, I could move and did so, snatching up the knife and backing away. Simon, both hands held against his face, staggered back into the living room. He ran into my couch and threw it aside hard enough to bounce it off the wall. Reaching one of the windows, he grabbed a curtain and tore it free, using the fabric as a towel. Dropping the towel, Simon turned to look at me. The light from the open refrigerator showed me the damage my lucky shot had done. A good portion of the left side of his face was exposed bone. The rest showed as raw, red-latticed tissue.
Bastard! Stay back! I have a jar of capers and I'm not afraid to use it!
Yeah, well, it didn't sound so ridiculous to me at the time. You had to be there, I guess.
This isn't over.
He turned and hurled himself out through the glass. I looked around the apartment.
I knew I should have taken out renter's insurance.